Van harte welkom bij Hour of Power. De zomermaanden zijn aangebroken. Dat betekent dat we allemaal, tenminste dat hoop ik voor u en voor jou, op vakantie gaan of vakantiedromen hebben. En Hour of Power zal elke week te zien zijn, ook in het buitenland. Vanmorgen hebben we een bijzondere uitzending, want we hebben een bijzondere spreker in de Crystal Cathedral. Een van mijn favoriete predikanten. Hij is zo uniek. Italiaanse afkomst en zijn naam is Tony Campolo. Hij heeft al eerder in de Crystal Cathedral gesproken en dit mag je niet missen. Bij Hour of Power Nederland, Lucas Kramer. Hij is een bekende gospelzanger, komt uit Urk en daar zingt geloof ik bijna iedereen. Maar hij zingt net wat beter dan de andere Urkers. En dan een Cubaanse vluchteling die ook fantastisch muziek maakt in de Crystal Cathedral en het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. Zo is er heel veel te zien en te doen en ik hoop dat het een hele goede uitzending voor u en voor jou gaat worden. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Join us today for the best hour on television, the Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
Good morning.
Welcome. This is the day that God has made. Let us
rejoice
and be glad in it. Sheila, we got a great hour today.
We do. Tony Campolo, wait till you hear him. Wow, he just knocks my socks off every time. And you can't have a better launching than from Tony today.
Oh, God. We're in it. We're at it. This is your time. You've connected with us. You didn't wait for us. You're ahead of us. We are your followers. You are the leader. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Seated and hear the word of the Lord from Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In that verse, you have the biblical teaching on what is sin. The taproot of sin is not rebellion against God. It's deeper than that. The deepest taproot of sin is lack of faith. For if you have everything else, but no faith, it's impossible with God. So by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. Therefore, we also are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and let us lay aside every weight. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless this holy scripture.
Yeah.
Today, we have a wonderful guest. Wait till you get to meet him and hear him play. His name is Jamie George. Jamie was born into a Christian family in communist Cuba. He had to stand up for his faith multiple times, and he has found his calling, and he has a beautiful CD called No More Broken Strings. Jamie, come on up. Good to meet you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Tell me, and I read your book, I was stunned. I didn't even think that there could be Christian churches or there could be pastors. Your dad was a pastor of a Christian church in communist Cuba. What was that like?
Well, for us as children, it was not as difficult as it was for our parents and others because they shielded us. But I remember being harassed in school. The teachers would corral me and they would say, "Why are you a Christian? Where is God? We can't see God. Why do you want to serve God? Why don't you wear your pioneer hat or scarf that right. all of the young people had to wear?" And so oftentimes our faith was tested when I would go out to the ball field and I would say to my neighbor friends, "Can I play baseball or soccer with you guys?" They would say, "We don't play with Christians." And so I'd have to watch from the sidelines. So we felt a bit marginalized, but at the same time we were taught the love of Christ in our home. And that certainly gave us the opportunity to stand up for him regardless of the situation that we found ourselves in.
Yeah, it's amazing because we all take our faith for granted here, our freedom, do we not,
Absolutely.
In America. And so to read your book, just the persecution that Christians do endure in different countries, is it still like that in Cuba today?
No, by the grace of God, over the last few years, the doors have begun to open up and missionaries have gone there and pastors and evangelists have gone to preach and the church is growing in Cuba and many people are coming to have hope because they know now that Jesus is our assurance and our salvation.
Yeah.
Praise the
Lord.
Isn't
that, wonderful. But you were, as a little boy, your mom put a violin in your hand at the age of 5?
Yes. She is a pianist,
yeah,
a violinist, an accordionist, a guitarist, and a composer. Hmm. And she's one of the finest musicians I know. And so she could tell that I had a talent for music. She says that when she would sing to me and I was in her womb, that I would kick and punch. And so she started taking me to violin lessons, and I loved the violin for the first week. And then I hated it for the next 15 years. But she forced me to practice every day because she said, "God has given you a talent. Yeah. And it's my responsibility to make sure that you develop that talent." So I'm very thankful for my mom's example.
Good, good mama.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So here you were in Cuba. Did they have good violin teachers?
Yes. One of the things that communist governments emphasize is the arts and entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there were good violinists, good orchestras, good opportunities to develop these talents.
And before your family came to America, you had an amazing opportunity to go to Russia.
Yes. After a competition that I participated in, the judges told me that I had played well enough to win first prize. But they would only give that to me if I would renounce my faith in God. Yeah. And so I told them, no, I wasn't willing to do that. That as the Bible says, it is better to obey God rather than men.
Yeah.
And so I went home, and then one of these same judges came to talk to me again and said, on behalf of the communist government, we want to give you a scholarship to go to Moscow. All you have to do is sign this piece of paper that says you don't believe in God anymore.
Yeah.
He says, I don't care if you believe in God or not. Just sign this paper and you and your family will have a better life. But I said, you already know my answer. You're wasting your time. And he got upset and he said, you are right. You're wasting my time and the time of the communist government because you are never going to be a good violinist. And he stormed off and he left and I never saw him
again. And you were a very mature young man of about 25 at the time?
Nine.
9 years old. Wow.
Praise God.
You moved me. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. When I read the story in the book, what impressed me was it wasn't like a 9-year-old boy who said, well, I got to go home and talk to mom and dad about this. You just said, no, I'm not going to deny my God. And what a tremendous, and what's so exciting is at that time you had no hope of coming to America.
Not at all.
And so God honored that by giving you the same opportunities, even better here in the United States. So tell us how your family got out of Cuba and came to America.
My father wrote a letter to Fidel Castro telling him that we were Christians, that we wanted to go to a place where we could worship God freely. And as a result of that letter, somebody came to our house and said, you guys are free to leave.
But didn't your dad put in that letter, didn't he say, I'm a troublemaker to you. I'm causing more problems for you by being a preacher.
Yes.
So why don't you just get rid of me and send me out of here? And
Yes, he said, I'm harassed. I'm threatened to be put in jail for giving Bible studies, for preaching the gospel. So you really don't want us here.
Yeah.
Just let us go
yeah.
to where we can worship God freely.
Yeah, but it was quite a journey.
Yes, indeed. They came to get us. And they said, just bring the clothes you're wearing because in 2 to 3 days you will be in the United States. But it was during the 1980 boat lift and there were complications and changes in governments here.
Yes.
And we were stuck. We were stuck in an army base camp for 3 months with a few hundred other people in the same situation, having sponsors, families that were bringing us here. But we didn't know if we were ever going to leave. But on the 3rd of December, 1980, they began to load us into buses and vans and they took us to the airport. And in 45 minutes, we were in the United States of America. And on that day when we arrived, wearing the clothes that we'd been wearing for the last 3 months, with nothing else, we were given two things, freedom and opportunity.
Wow. Wow. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Because you arrived, your family arrived in America not speaking the language, no home over your head. No money, no way to make a living or to live. And yet, here you were thrown into schools at, what were you, 10 at the time?
10 years old.
And you went on to get into med school?
Yes.
And went there for 2 years while you're concertizing all over, even the world, and cutting albums. It's so impressive. What is a final word you want to say to the people, Jamie?
What I want to share with everyone here and those that are watching around the world is that God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes we think that we can help God along.
That's right.
But God's ways never include compromising our principles and our faith in Him. And even though we may miss out on some earthly opportunities, I believe that what God has planned for each and every one of us is far better than we could ever imagine.
Yeah. Well, He is going to play for you now, His violin, your beautiful violin. So thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
God bless you.
You too. Thank you so much.
His book and his CD titled No More Broken Strings. You can get his book at a local bookstore, and his CD is available here on at our bookstore. So thank you so much, Jamie.
indrukwekkende verhaal van een Cubaanse vluchteling, Jaime Jorge, en hij speelde op zijn viool zo prachtig Great is the Lord. Muziek maken, dat is wat een heleboel mensen bezighoudt. Ook in Nederland bijvoorbeeld. We hebben 16.000 koren. Nederlanders zingen graag. En als je over een zingend vissersdorp hebt, dan heb je het over Urk. En daar komt mijn gast van vanmorgen vandaan, Lucas Kramer. Lucas, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen, Jan.
Opgegroeid met ja. Het zingen van wat?
Geboren en getogen op Urk.
Ja. En de Urken zingen graag?
Ja, wij zingen graag, ja.
En waarom zingen jullie zo? Want jullie kunnen ook op een heel bijzondere manier zingen, de boventoon.
De bovenstem, ja.
Ja, leg het eens uit.
Ja, dat komt eigenlijk een beetje vanuit de traditie van onze kerk. En dat wij de psalmen op hele noten zingen bijvoorbeeld. En dan tijdens die psalmen wordt de bovenstem door de mannen op de zang gezet.
Ja, dat is prachtig.
Ja.
Je vader was visser. Jij hebt in de vishandel gezeten. Dus de traditie getrouw van Urk. Je bent eigenlijk een soort zingende visser.
Ja, ik kwam van kleine jongen af aan. Kwam er bij familie in de vis terecht, in het visbedrijf. En vanuit daaruit altijd wel bezig geweest met muziek. En later ontwikkeld tot dit.
Ben je natuurtalent?
Misschien wel.
Nou, dat vraag ik aan je.
Ja, ik kan het niet van mezelf zeggen.
Ja. Terug naar je zangcarrière. Inmiddels ben je fulltime zanger. Laatst nog opgetreden op de Nederlandse Zingdag. Je geeft veel concerten in het land. Zeker ook voor jonge mensen. Je zingt tijdens kerkdiensten. Wat maakt het zo bijzonder voor je?
Ja, de muziek. Muziek en ik zijn onlosmakelijk verbonden met elkaar. En van jongs af aan. En dat je nu mag op deze manier mag werken, dat ervaar ik echt als een zegen.
Ja. Ja. Een paar jaar geleden heb je een hele moeilijke ervaring meegemaakt, waar je ook over zingt. Het overlijden van je vader.
Ja, mijn vader is 3 jaar geleden overleden aan een korte maar hevige ziekte, leukemie.
Je kijkt erbij?
Heel snel. Na 9 maanden leukemie is hij overleden.
Vertel eens van die periode. Hoe heb je dat meegemaakt?
Het ging heel snel allemaal. Hij was helemaal gezond. En vanuit dat stadium in 1 keer ziek geworden van de een op de andere dag. En constatering van leukemie. En 8 maanden lang het doorheen geknokt op allerlei manieren. En tijdens de stamceltransplantatie ging het mis. En toen was het binnen 2 weken was het over.
Kun je dat moment nog terugroepen dat je vader vertelde van ik heb leukemie?
Jazeker, we zaten buiten aan de koffie. En er werd gebeld. Mijn vader was daarvoor naar de huisarts geweest. En toevallig waren we het gezin bij elkaar die morgen. En er kwam telefoon uit Amsterdam. En mijn vader liep naar de keuken toe. En ik kon zo door het keukenraam kon ik meekijken naar mijn vader. Hij pakte de telefoon op en hij werd helemaal lijkbleek. En hij legde de telefoon neer. En hij schreeuwde het. Hij schreeuwde eigenlijk uit, waarom God, waarom ik? En tijdens die periode van ziek zijn, toen kwam er eigenlijk een omslag ook in zijn leven. Dus eigenlijk na het uitschreeuwen tijdens dat telefoontje is mijn vader helemaal omgedraaid naar eigenlijk acceptatie en tijdens die periode was ook zijn slogan was: het is goed, God is goed. Dus al komt mij dit nou over, ondanks alles misère, God is goed. En dat is in die periode is dat uitgegroeid tot een rots in de branding eigenlijk, ook voor mijn vader. En dat mocht hij van getuigen tijdens dat ziek zijn en tijdens zijn sterfbed. Ja. En dat heeft hij eigenlijk als een missie aan ons overgedragen om dat weer verder te dragen. Ja. En door middel van mijn muziek mag ik dat ook doen.
Ja. De titel van je cd is Het is goed, uitspraak van je vader. Kun je dat zelf ook zeggen? Het is goed wat God doet?
Ja, soms komt er ook wel, dan merk je ook wel die aanvechting. Tijdens concerten heb ik vaak dat ik, als ik dat nummer moet doen, het is goed. En dan komt het heel dicht bij mij. En dan heb ik ook wel eens, dan mis ik hem in de kerk, want hij was een trouwe supporter van mij. En dan mis je hem gewoon zo erg dat je denkt van ja, dan heb je ook wel eens die aanvechtingen.
Ja, ik denk dat een aantal mensen die kijken zich zeker herkennen in het verhaal. Zelf constatering gehad van een dodelijke ziekte of in de omgeving, vrienden, familie. Hoe ga je er nou mee om? Wat heb je geleerd?
Ja, persoonlijk heb ik het verwerkt als dat ik mocht zien dat mijn vader ook echt Jezus gezien heeft op zijn sterfbed. En daar ook van mocht getuigen. Dus voor mij is dat een enorme troost dat mijn vader echt gezegd heeft van ik ga naar Jezus. Dat heeft hij ook echt gezegd op zijn sterfbed. En vanuit die getuigenis van hem mogen wij die troost pakken. Ja. Maar er zijn ook mensen die dat anders ervaren thuis. En dan is het toch een heel andere materie, denk ik. Ja.
Hoe raak je nou door muziek te maken en te zingen harten van jongeren?
Ik denk dat het ook heel veel te maken heeft met de teksten die er voor ons geschreven worden. Ja. En ik heb geluk dat ik een hele goede tekstschrijfster heb in Margreet Ras. En soms dan komt zoiets heel spontaan. Dan zitten wij in gesprek met elkaar. Ja. En dan ontstaat er een tekst. En zij heeft een manier van tekstschrijven die zowel bij ouderen binnenkomt als bij jongere mensen.
Ja. Ik heb begrepen dat jij elke zondagmorgen naar Hour of Power kijkt.
Zondagsmorgens kom ik beneden en dan druk ik de televisie aan. Dan maak ik ontbijtje klaar voor de kinderen en voor Femi. En dan kijken we altijd traditiegetrouw. Want bij ons begint de kerk om 10 uur. Dus kan ik een groot gedeelte van de uitzending kan ik meepakken. Ja. Ja.
Wat is je meest bijgebleven?
Het meest bijgebleven, dat was toch wel Travis Cottrell. Ja. Die uitzending met hem, dat was wel heel indrukwekkend voor mij.
De zanger.
Dat is ook een zanger die ik erg ambieer. Ook zijn stijl van zingen, dat komt heel dicht bij mij. Ja, ja, dat kwam toch heel erg binnen bij mij. Ja,
ja, mooi. We hadden grootste plannen, want jouw pianist zou meekomen.
Ja.
Dan zou je vanmorgen Het is goed zingen. Maar de pianist is niet, dus dat gaat niet door. Maar ik wil toch aan je vragen, want het is toch wel leuk om jou zelf even hier op de bank te horen. Of je een stukje uit dat indrukwekkende lied wil zingen.
Dat wil ik doen.
Ja.
Vandaag is de dag dat ik jou moet laten gaan. Vandaag is de dag, het afscheid breekt aan. De strijd is voorbij, het einde gekomen. Nu moet ik zonder jou verder gaan. En Jezus heeft jou in zijn armen genomen. Daar ben je veilig en daar is het goed. Hij neemt je mee naar het land van je dromen. Ga maar naar hem, het is goed. Ga maar naar hem, het is goed.
Nou, heel erg mooi, indrukwekkend. En zeker als je dat zingt zonder alle begeleiding erbij. Ik wil je heel hartelijk danken, Lucas, dat je hier vanmorgen wilde zijn. Je hebt kracht voor elke dag nodig. Ik ook. En dit is een nieuw Bijbels dagboek. Met een dagelijkse impuls voor een positief geloofsleven. Moet je eens even kijken. Mooie foto's erbij van Ken Duncan.
Ja, heel mooi, Jan.
De fotograaf van de Crystal Cathedral. En ik hoop kracht door vreugde. Want de vreugde des Heren, dat is mijn kracht, staat hier. Ik geef het je graag mee.
Dankjewel, Jan.
Heel fijn dat je hier was. Blijf zingen.
Doe ik.
En hopelijk kom je nog eens op een van onze concerten. Of in de Crystal Cathedral.
Ja, en, dat zal het zijn.
Ja, precies. Maar vind je het goed dat we daar nu heen gaan?
Is goed.
Want er zitten op ons te wachten. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral. En dat was Lucas Kramer uit Urk.
Hour of Power kan alleen dankzij de hulp van trouwe donateurs de wekelijkse uitzendingen voor u verzorgen. Hour of Power zoekt 500 nieuwe partners die samen met dominee Schuller de boodschap van geloof, hoop en liefde willen brengen. Wilt u ook een partner van ons zijn? Word dan nu donateur en ontvang gratis het zojuist verschenen Bijbels dagboek Kracht voor elke dag. Misschien wel het meest mooie en inspirerende dagboek in de geschiedenis van Hour of Power. Elke dag een prachtige foto van Ken Duncan met een Bijbelvers en een korte boodschap. Speciaal geselecteerd uit de boeken en preken van de familie Schuller. Bij elkaar bedoeld om u te helpen kracht te putten uit Gods woord. Gods kracht is er voor u, elke dag. Meld u aan als donateur en bel ons nu 035 538 0588 of kijk op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Als u nu donateur wordt, dan sturen wij u als welkomstgeschenk het prachtige Bijbelsdagboek Kracht voor elke dag. Alvast hartelijk dank voor uw steun. Thank you.
Thank you, Donald Newman. Thank you, choir. You're the best. Well, a very special friend of many, many years is with us today. If I were to name the top 10 motivational speakers that I've enjoyed in my lifetime, early on that list would be the name of Tony Campolo. He is very professionally prepared for what he does, professor at Emeritus at Eastern University of Pennsylvania. He speaks about 350 times a year. Now, that's not quite once a day, but he'll do two or three a day. He's written 38 books, including an upcoming release he co-authored titled Connecting Like Jesus. His wife is with him here today, I believe. Will she stand? And thank you. He is my friend. He is my brother in Christ, and his wife, Peggy. You are a special family. So welcome back, Tony Campolo.
Give me a hug. At Eastern University, where I teach, I can count on this happening every May. Some student will come in and say, well, Doc, I'm not coming back next semester. I try to be professional and say, pray tell, why? You can count on what he's going to say. I need time. And I'm saying to myself, he hasn't done anything for the last 3 months. He's going to say it with great emphasis. I need time, Doc. I need time to, you know what he's going to say. I need time to find myself. And they all look in the same place, Boulder, Colorado. Then it becomes quite intense. Doc, what I'm trying to tell you is I need time to peel away each of these socially prescribed identities, these personas that society has pressured me into accepting for myself. I'm tired of being the me that my family expects me to be, that the church expects me to be, that you expect me to be, that my friends expect me to be. I've got to peel away each of these socially generated identities and come to grips with the core of my being, the essence of my selfhood. Kind of makes you puke, doesn't it? I mean, I always say, Charlie, suppose after you peel away each of these socially prescribed identities, after you peel away each of these socially generated selves and take that long guru trip into the innermost recesses of your being and get there, what if you discover, hi ho, nobody's home? While trying to find yourself, maybe you have missed the point. Jesus said, whoever seeks to find himself will lose himself. But whosoever is willing to lose himself for my sake and the sake of the kingdom will find himself. That in fact, the self is not waiting to be discovered through introspection. The self is waiting to be created through commitment. Commitments define us. Commitments give us our identity. And if you have no commitments, you are, says T.S. Eliot, the hollow man, the empty man, the straw man, blown to and fro by the wind. Ours, says Kenneth Keniston, the sociologist, is the generation of the uncommitted. And yet it is through commitment that we become Christians. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus, not enough to just believe in the doctrines of the faith. You must commit yourself to Christ and say, here I am, take me, fill me, use me. I want to be the instrument of your love in the world in which I live. In the field of psychology, there's one school of thought, the behaviorist school, that basically says that what we are is the result of our past conditioning. That we are nothing more than what the forces of our yesterdays have molded us into being. If I believe that, I would give up tomorrow morning. I have hundreds of young men and women who work with me coming out of Eastern, working in cities all across the United States in third world countries, working with the poor and the oppressed, working with boys and girls who armies have marched over, who have been battered and beaten and abused. And if I believe that they were molded by their past, and that's what it's all about, I would give up. But I'm here to give you the good news. What you have been is not as important as what you choose to become. That's the good news of the gospel. What do you choose to become? That's the big issue. For we are more molded by the future than the past. That's what makes us superior to animals. Animals are Pavlovian. They are molded by the past. But humans are able to imagine and dream about the future. And if there's anything that the Holy Spirit will give you, if you'll surrender to Christ, it's an empowering of the Holy Spirit that will make you into a dreamer and a visionary. A lot of people say, I'm too old to be a dreamer or a visionary. You're not too old. Never too old. Abraham was 94 years old when he got turned on with a vision. You've got to picture it. Use your imagination. He wakes up one morning, shakes his wife Sarah. Sarah, can't you just see it? Sarah, poor old lady, she's 92. What is it, Abe? I just had a vision. Hey, guys, there's a whole new approach you haven't tried yet. Poor old lady. What kind of vision? What kind of vision, Abe? We're going to create a new humanity, a new epoch in human history. We are going to create the human race all over again. Poor old lady. How's this new humanity start, Abe? Glad you asked, Sarah. Well, if you don't think God's got a sense of humor, picture this. It's said in the scripture that Bob read today that he left the Ur of the Chaldees with his wife Sarah, not knowing where he was going. Get the picture. This old guy on a walker going down a dusty road with his 92-year-old pregnant wife next to him. Is this a picture? And can't you hear them saying, where are you going, Abe? I don't know. What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. Then why are you leaving, Abe? Because God has given me a vision. God has given me a vision. And the Bible says, and when the old no longer have their dreams and the young no longer have their visions, the people perish. What this country needs more than anything else, is a rebirth of vision and a rebirth of dreams. We've got to believe in the future because we're old as a nation, as a people. We are old as individuals when our memories are more important to us than our dreams. That's what makes us old. That's what makes us old. God has a plan and a will for your life. And the only question that is before you today is, am I ready to say, living Lord Jesus, come into my life, take my life and let it be an instrument to live out the dreams and the visions, not that I have for myself, but the dreams and the visions that you have for me when you created me. Because God has dreams and visions for every one of you. And the question is, are you willing to say, not my will, but thy will be done? Then there are those who say, but I have so many shortcomings, so many inadequacies. Of course you have inadequacies. A friend of mine out in Hawaii told me this story about a young man who was in a horrible automobile accident and lost his left arm. He was so depressed, and his father, trying to cheer him up, said, can I do anything? Anything I can do for you? The boy said, yes. I would like to take judo lessons. I understand you can do judo with one arm. The father got him a sensei, a teacher, to teach him judo. After learning the basics of the art of judo, the sensei concentrated on one move, just one move alone, the one move over and over and over again, day after day, week after week. After 2.5 months, the sensei said, we're entering a tournament. The young kid said, you've got to be kidding. I've only been taking judo for 2.5 months. I only have one arm. My left arm's gone, and I'm going to be in a tournament? They go to the tournament. The boy wins the first round, the second round, the third round. He can't believe it. He keeps on winning right up into the final. He wins the final. On the way home, he's saying to his sensei, his teacher, he said, I don't understand. How is this possible? I've only been taking judo for 2.5 months. I really only know one move. How could I have just beaten the champion of the state? Sensei said, you won for two reasons. First, the one move you do know is the most effective move in all of judo. The second reason why you won is because the only defense against that move is to grab your opponent's left arm. You say you have a shortcoming? You say you have a weakness? This is what the Bible says. In your weaknesses are my strengths. I will use you not in spite of your inadequacies, but through your inadequacies. There are great things I can do through you that I can't do through anybody else. God has great plans for you. And of course, the ultimate excuse, I hear this all the time, I'm too sinful. When I was in grad school, I was the pastor of a small church, and I asked this one man to teach a Sunday school class. He held his Bible up about this high and said, I would love to teach that class of junior high boys. I would love to do it, but I'm so sinful. I'm so inadequate, so sinful. And before I could catch myself, I said, I know. And if we had anybody better, do you think I'd ask you? Not. I didn't last in the pastorate. Do you understand? I did not last. God can use you. God has plans for you. Accept his will for your life. Say, Jesus, I not only believe in you, but I believe you have plans for me, and I invite you to motivate me, empower me, energize me, so I can do the things that you created me to do in this world. There are some people who say, well, what about if you're in your deathbed? There's no future for you then. Of course there is, especially when you're on your deathbed. The best lies ahead of you. I love the story of Hudson Taylor, who went to the mission field, and when he returned to England, the committee that had sent him out got their dates mixed up and did not know when he was arriving. He arrived in Southampton the same time that Teddy Roosevelt arrived, and there was a band that met him and carried Teddy Roosevelt away on their shoulders, cheering, and the band was playing, and Hudson Taylor got off the boat, and there was no one there to meet him. He waited about 2 hours, sat down in his suitcase, and said, Lord, I didn't expect a band or a crowd to carry me away on their shoulders. But Lord, there could have been somebody here to welcome me home. And he said, it's the only time I heard words from heaven. When I said, there could have been somebody here to welcome me home, as certain as anything, I heard a voice said, Hudson, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. People, all the way through life, there's future. All the way through life, there's hope. Even on the deathbed, there's hope. There's always hope. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I tried to get one of my students to research this to see whether it was true, and I couldn't find out. But I've heard the story that when the great movie, The Seventh Seal by Bergman, was shown in 1958 in New York, that Bobby Fischer had just won the world championship in chess, and he was there in the audience as the movie played itself out. The movie is built around a medieval knight who's playing a game of chess with the Prince of Darkness. All the way through the film, the Prince of Darkness is making moves on the knight, trying to trap him. And in the last scene, the Prince of Darkness makes a move on the chessboard, looks at the knight, and says, checkmate, the game is over. Checkmate, and the curtain comes down. Bobby Fischer is reported to have turned to his friend and said, why is that knight giving up? Doesn't he see it? Doesn't he see the pieces on the board? The king. The king has one more move. He can win. The king has one more move. Now, if you can't preach that, Bob, you can't preach. because I don't know what the excuse is. You say, I'm too old. The king has. You say, I have shortcomings and inadequacies. And the good news is, the king has. You say, I'm filled with sin. Sin won't even stop you. Sin won't even stop you. Because the good news of the gospel is that Jesus will take care of your sin. Because of the cross, he will take the punishment for your sins. You're saved by grace. Do you understand that word, grace? That means that it isn't something that you earn. It's a gift that God gives you because God loves you. I mean, stop to think about it. Have you ever gotten a woman pregnant and then turned around and killed her husband? Saw that her husband was put to death? Well, David did. But God took even those horrendous sins and said, if you're willing to confess your sins, I will cleanse you and make you into a new creation. And I've got work for you to do in the days that lie ahead. Nothing disqualifies you. Not age. Not inadequacies. Not sin. For greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. I'm asking you this. Do you feel that you can't do much for the kingdom? That it's over for you? That you had your chance and you blew it? Don't be deceived. The king has one more move.
Tony, look what you're getting from us. Applause, because in our hearts, we've all been touched by you, inspired by you, uplifted by you, motivated by you. You have our love, our respect, our friendship. As often as you can come back and preach, you're here. The pulpit is yours.
Thank you.
May the Lord bless you where you need it most. May God give you peace as you leave these doors and step out into the sunlight. And may your mind be so creative this week that ideas will come, messages, motivations that can only be explained that it is the Holy Spirit working through you. Amen.
Wat was die geweldig, dominee Tony Campolo. Vertrouwen op God is geloven zonder te zien, maar een zeker weten. Weet je, God is altijd thuis. Wij zijn vaak een eindje aan het wandelen. Maar als we weer thuiskomen, is Hij er. En ik hoop dat dat een troost is voor de komende week. Ga u of ga jij op vakantie in de komende weken? Van harte een hele fijne en zonnige vakantie toegewenst. Hour of Power blijft elke week uitzenden. En wij bedanken iedereen voor het kijken en zeggen graag tot volgende week.